All right. Welcome back. Oh, you let your hair down. Welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. We are back this week with a pretty exciting docket and still actively avoiding the dumpster fire. But outside of that, let's start off with how we doing in church announcements. Because I actually have more than one this time. But yeah. How are you, Jade? Any church announcements?
I am doing good. Let's see. I'll be church announcements. I'll be in Boston in next month. At the end of the month for a comic book convention in Boston. Let's see what else. And then DreamCon after that in May. And there's one other one I forgot that's at the beginning of May that I can't remember what that one was for where, but I'll remember next week. But yeah, just conventions, trucking along, working school. I don't think I have anything else. I don't have anything major going on. Yeah. How are you?
Tired. But good overall. But yeah, good overall. So, church announcements for me. I actually have some for a change. First off, if you have a YouTube and you are also a Kingdom Hearts fan, this is the 23rd. Let me make sure I got that right. That's not right. No, that is right. 23rd anniversary. The first Kingdom Hearts game's release, at least in this month. Its official release, I believe, in Japan. So, to celebrate that anniversary, an organization has put together an event called March Caprice. That said, I will be premiering a video as part of the event this Sunday. This is going live this weekend. Okay. but I'll be premiering. I was like, am I announcing this? Is this going to be too old by the time? It's not. But I'll be premiering a video this Sunday as part of the event. So if you are into Kingdom Hearts, please check it out. It will be it will premiere at 10:45 Central Time, Central Standard Time, AM. So if that means you gotta I don't know if y'all still go to church. Or if you're in virtual church, just switch over.
You can be in virtual church but not
Marvin Sapp's church. Don't be in that church. They won't let you out for a bathroom break. If you're listening to the podcast and also happen to be into that, please check it out. Next announcement. 2 projects. Well, really 3 projects, but I'm just only going to announce 2 right now. 2 projects are underway. One is a me personal thing. I'm setting up a Let's Play gaming channel of everything that is not Kingdom Hearts related. Therefore, keeping Kingdom Hearts channel pure, but also for my other clips of games that have been posting on Instagram and TikTok, they will be re-uploaded to this new YouTube channel as well as longer Let's Play, basically edited down videos of my live streams on Twitch. So, more details to come on that. The channel will be live sometime this weekend with the first couple of videos and shorts. And then we are taking the Embassy Talks to YouTube. We're still streaming live on Twitch, but we're uploading our videos to YouTube basically with all the podcast episodes within this calendar year so far. And then we'll be doing weekly uploads, or if we're on a break, just upload when we come back. Stay tuned for that. I believe the channel itself already exists, and it's called The Embassy. I can probably rename it to The Embassy Talks Podcast to keep everything aligned and pure. More solid details will come on our next episode when I'll have that down. That will also be live that this weekend, which is why I was questioning myself as to why I'm announcing March Caprice, if it might be over by the time we upload this podcast. But I will actually be on top of my shit and upload this this weekend. And I'll be going to DreamCon. I just don't know what all I'm doing yet, if I'm just hanging out. But that is all of my announcements for tonight. So, yeah, that's it. And I'll still be streaming games on Twitch. All right. So, where do you want to start? Do you want to go top 10 happiest countries and get that out the way? Do you want to talk Avengers first?
Let's get the top 10 out the way.
All right. So this will be our news beat feature. The top 10 happiest, countries, the list of top 10 happiest countries released a couple weeks ago, actually. And so on this list, we have, Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Netherlands, Costa Rica, Norway, Israel, Luxembourg, and Mexico. So my first observation is that the Nordic really has it together, but also the Nordic is very homogenous. So it's like, I'm not too surprised. It's like, if everybody looks the same, it's like, it's less chance for strife, unfortunately. But less chance for strife to occur. Because that is one element that people can't use against each other. Now, not to say that just because everybody will look the same, that there still wouldn't be like anything or oppression or anything to that nature, because look at Russia. But also there's classism as well, cronyism, corruption. And the countries were ranked on happiness based on their average life evaluations over the three preceding years, which in this case is from 2022 to 2024. The report looked at six key variables to help explain life evaluations: GDP per capita, social support, healthy life expectancy, freedom, generosity, and perceptions of corruption, which ties right into my observations about the Nordic countries. So wasn't really surprised about the Nordic countries, because they've always been in the top 10. This just seems to be a happy, cold place over there. Costa Rica, I've actually heard good things about, so I was surprised to see it ranked so high, but not necessarily surprised it did make the list. I was surprised about Israel, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Right.
And kind of surprised about Mexico, not necessarily because of what a lot of people have against in our country have against Mexico or people who are Mexican, not necessarily because of that, but from what I knew and understood, I thought there was a kind of bad corruption problem when it came to the cartels there, but maybe not. Maybe that's making a turn for the better. I'm not sure. I've also never been, so there's that. I need a visit. In case y'all are wondering, we're 24. So we weren't nowhere near 10. We actually dropped 2 points, over the 3 years. So, but anyway, your thoughts, Jade?
Yeah, I'm definitely not surprised with the top five. They're solid. Not surprised whatsoever. They have nice people there. Those are places that you can go visit and people will tell you, like, the people are friendly. they're excited to see visitors and all that stuff. Very shocked at, like, at Mexico. Because same, I assumed that, like, there's a problem with the cartels and things like that. And that's what we see on our media. So that's all the information that we go by. So I'm just like, oh, maybe it's not as bad. But there are places that I've been to different parts of Mexico, and I've had a good time. Like, Cozumel is one of my favorite places to visit in, like, this side of the hemisphere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, not sure. I saw that one was a little just, like, shocking. Like you said, Israel. And all right. That's all they get.
Yeah.
But us being at 24, I'm shocked we're that high.
We have that GDP holding us. That's really it.
I will say, so they're grading on a curve.
Yeah, yeah. We're always going to be graded on the curve because of our GDP that took off after World War II. So, like, yeah. And we do have, compared to other countries globally, we do have relatively lower perceptions of corruption. It has increased. But generally speaking, even though corruption has always been a thing in this country, it is still relatively lower than other countries that are lower than us. Because thankfully, knock on all the wood, if we happen to get stopped, well, if a lot of people happen to get stopped, I won't say, but your average everyday person, if you happen to get stopped or pulled over, you don't have to shell out $50 on the spot to be let go. So it's stuff like that. Or if I'm trying to think of another regular public service thing, and this is a more made up example. I don't know if they actually do this in other places, but you go to a DMV because your license is about to expire, get a new license. You don't have to shell out an extra $20 just so your license can be like in compliance. So it's just like little stuff like that. Anything else on that?
I know, right? The little things that set us apart. Just the little
things. Just a little things.
But yeah, I was like, definitely wanted to visit some of those other countries, though, because I was about to say I've been to the Netherlands. I was like, I have not been to the Netherlands. I was like, girl, you are in Switzerland.
Slightly different.
Yes, like, just, it's just different. But no, it's, just the rankings make sense, except for a couple. Again, shocked that we're that high as we are. And especially because of time period, because this is post-pandemic, that their rankings.
Yeah.
So it's just like the world, this is like a whole, we had a cataclysmic world event. So to rank the happiness of countries after that coming out post pandemic is actually really big of certain countries to be so high up, because it's like, oh, they kept their people happy, because I do know that Europe was very much on the curve of trying to keep their numbers down as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah. I'm shocked. I wonder where Australia is.
Because it is 11 or 12.
See, I was like, I would assume it would have been high up just because, again, post-pandemic, how they reacted during the pandemic.
Yeah. Australia and New Zealand were right there next to each other. They were in the early teens, or like the 11 or 12. Europe was like 18, which is, oh, not Europe, my bad. The UK was 18, which is considered low for, no, I'm sorry, Canada was 18. Still considered low for them. The UK was in the lower teens as well, or like number 20, which is they also considered low. But that's because the post-pandemic, the economic feeling of like, the numbers look decent, but the people weren't feeling that. Kind of the same thing that a lot of people were saying here in the US. So those were just some of the other numbers that I remember off the top of my head without pulling up CNN. Okay. So let's see. Anything else though before we move on to Avengers?
On that, nothing else.
Okay. All right. So Avengers Doomsday is officially in production. I have no notes here because I was just like, I just wanted to nerd out a bit, but I never thought I would be excited to watch a minute and a half video that showed a bunch of chairs, bunch of director like chairs with actors' names on them. But holy hell, I let my nerd flag fly so high because the way I geeked out over just who was gonna be set, who's right now, who's gonna be like set up in this. I'm stoked. And I was actually one of the people who was like, maybe Marvel's in the downturn. I don't know if they'll rebuild the hype, but I think we're so back phase right now. With this announcement, but how this announcement happened is where I'm going to say, I'm really glad I have a day job where I can't readily access my phone because there's a 5.5 hour stream for these chairs, for just these chairs and RDJ. And how they did it was that they would show the chair, like the first chair, was, Chris, well, at least in the minute and a half video, was Chris Hemsworth, who's Thor. So they show Chris Hemsworth's name on the chair, and then they do like a 12 to 15 minute video montage of Thor, Chris Hemsworth's Thor, and like what he's done, and just like, I guess, like dialogue in the background and all of that. And then they move on to the next chair. So they did that for 27 chairs. I'm going to do quick math real quick because I'm very curious to see if that actually equaled 5.5 hours. Not quite. No, we got close. Okay. So some chairs didn't get as much time. I did 15 times 27. But my point is, they did that for each chair. There are 27 chairs. And that did equal to about 5.5 hours. I was right. All right. So I'm so glad I didn't have to sit through that. As a streamer, I wouldn't have streamed that shit. But I was hype over the minute and a half, and that was enough for me. So, but some of these names. So basically, it's set up that you got the kind of remade Avengers with Thor, the new Captain America, which is Sam Wilson, the new Falcon, which is played by Daniel Ramirez. But that'll be, I might butcher that name. I might have blended the actor's name in the screen name, but let me do my Googles while I do this real time.
Do you want the thing from you're right, Danny Ramirez.
Hey, okay.
Was the Falcon.
Let's go memory. Okay. I pulled up Deadline.
I'm looking at the cast list.
Okay. Oh, you geeking out now?
Yes.
Okay. So
the one I'm looking at broke it down by like franchise, which movies.
Yeah.
They came from.
All right. So they're setting up as like a retooled Avengers, which will be Thor, Sam Wilson, Captain America, New Falcon, I'm reading. Oh, Bucky, Ant-Man, Paul Rudd, Shang-Chi. Let's see. And they're also bringing in, like adjacent. So they're bringing in Wakanda with Shuri, M'Baku, and Namor. And then they're also pulling
that's
in.
That's why I was like, Namor. And Winston Duke. I love me some Winston Duke as right? well.
I was excited over that for a slightly different reason. But yeah. Same reason, but different. But it was just like that. I like looking at him as the M'Baku. But all right. Next, they're also bringing in Loki, and I think they're bringing him in as, spoiler alert, I think they're bringing him in as how he ended Loki season 2. Not regular Loki, but upgraded Loki. Let's see. So that is kind of like the Avengers side. Then we got the new Fantastic Four, which we haven't seen the movie yet, but new Fantastic Four, who has Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, and Ebon Moss Bacharach, and who's playing like
for him.
Yeah. Reed Richards.
If anybody watches The Bear, I was like, Richie? It's like, yes.
Yeah. So Reed Richards, Sue Storm, which is Invisible Woman, Johnny Storm, and The Thing. And let's see, I'm trying to make sure I don't leave anybody out. All right.
Thunderbolts.
Thank you. I was like, I didn't want to get to the big one yet. So Thunderbolts, yes. So they're going to, they also introduce or show cast members from this summer's upcoming movie, The Thunderbolts. So that's going to be Yelena, who is Black Widow's sister. I gotta do my homework on them because it's like they kept saying
Bucky.
The name Bucky's part of that. Red Star
Guardian,
mm-hmm. Yeah, a Guardian, and we're forgetting people.
There's gonna be a character called Ghost.
Ghost
from the Thunderbolts.
That's what we were forgetting. Agent. Yeah.
And Sentry.
Yes. Which I think Sentry is gonna be really pivotal for this like Doomsday arc. Because all of the nerdy Marvel fans who were like covering this on YouTube was like, Sentry's gonna be really big. So I do think because of Sentry's power, he's going to be really like pivotal to Doomsday arc. And one thing of note for the Thunderbolts is that they didn't show Taskmaster, and we don't quite know why. Don't know if that's going to be a surprise later or if something's going to happen in the Thunderbolts movie this summer, but Taskmaster was not announced for Doomsday, so don't know. All right. And then I kind of saw it coming when I saw Kelsey Grammer's name, because I was like, y'all are bringing back Frasier Beast. And I'm just like, what y'all doing? are y'all doing what I think you're doing? And then after Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki, after Tom Hiddleston's name panned over to Patrick Stewart, I literally screamed. So basically, they are bringing back 20th Century Fox, OG X-Men, that we watched growing up of the live action. So Patrick Stewart, who will be playing Charles Xavier, Ian McKellen, who's going to be playing Magneto. God bless the hair. Ian McKellen had for sure has been still acting in theater to this day. I think Patrick Stewart has as well, but all right. And they're bringing back Alan Cumming as Nightcrawler, Rebecca Romijn as Mystique, which I was like, what did y'all do? Now, what did y'all offer her to come back?
As long as it wasn't Jennifer Lawrence.
Listen. I saw Rebecca Romijn. I was like, y'all did that correctly. Thank you.
Yes.
And James Marsden as OG Cyclops. And then last but not least, he's going to make a name of himself. They legit brought on Channing Tatum as Gambit, which, all right.
It's like special place in the heart for that one, because he was supposed to be an OG X-Men.
Yeah.
When we were growing up and watching these X-Men movies, he was supposed to have an X-Men movie.
Oh.
It just never happened. Yeah. Yeah. It never happened.
Interesting.
So it's kind of exciting that we got to finally see Channing Tatum as
Gambit.
Wow, my head blank. Gambit. We got to finally see him as Gambit in Deadpool Wolverine. And now to have him with the other OG X-Men, it's just like, oh yeah. Because nothing against who played Gambit.
I have no idea
his name. From Friday Night Lights, I believe. I can't remember his name now. I got his face, but I can't remember his name.
And it's just gonna show. Oh, in X-Men, there we go. Taylor Kitsch.
Yes, Taylor Kitsch.
Okay.
So yeah, nothing wrong with his adaptation of it, but it was just like Channing Tatum. I don't know what it is about Channing Tatum. I like him as an actor.
No, he's great as an actor. I like him.
Yeah, it's like after he got out of like the Magic Mike roles,
yes,
and all the dancing roles, everybody like realized like I was on him back then, but then like people start realizing no, he actually can't act,
yeah,
and he's actually pretty good in like the movies that he's in, so it's exciting to see him as Gambit, and he's really taking on that role because his accent is hilarious.
Oh my gosh, I was like, I don't know if he's gonna work on that accent or not. But if I feel like we're gonna need subtitles a little bit.
It's so funny. I can't wait. Because we got the Spider-Verse, we have the Multiverse of Madness, we have the universes from because of Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yep.
So it's like we have all these different universes going on. So we get to see different stuff and different actors. And that was another person that's going to be in it, of course. Tom Holland, Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I figured he was going to be a given. And I was like, I don't think they necessarily have to announce Tom Holland. It's just, it's a given. I think some articles had announced him, but from what I saw, at least from the minute and a half video, but also from what people were saying from that 5.5-hour stream, that they didn't announce Tom Holland. And people were like, but Spider-Man. I was like, I'm like 80% sure he's going to be in the movie.
Because they have to give some type of something, because the last time we saw Spider-Man, he's erased from everybody's memory.
Right.
From his Earth.
Right.
So now we're having other, but he's also met other Spider-Mans, and because of the Spider-Verse, so now we have different universes again. So it's just like, how will Spider-Man play a role with the Avengers?
Yeah.
Because
now nobody remembers him.
And then, of course, we have, like, our TV TV shows and the different characters that partake in the same universe as the MCU.
Yep.
So seeing if they incorporate any of those characters, those sideline characters, into it.
I think they will I think some of them will. Because I know people were asking about Wanda, even though she may or may not be dead.
That's still important. How much she dead?
I have hope that she's just out there somewhere floating.
I don't think any of the Agatha crew are going to be in it, just because we haven't gotten season two yet.
No, I feel like that's set up for Young Avengers, because they still, spoiler, they still got to find Tommy, so,
yeah.
Tommy is still out there, so, like, once he's found, then they'll be brought in. They probably won't be brought in for real until Secret Wars, but they'll be brought in some form or fashion in between Doomsday and Secret Wars. Going back real quick to Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. I don't know if Ryan Reynolds or whoever wrote that joke for him in Deadpool 3, like, knew what they were doing, but that Till You're 90 joke, I kind of made the link of, like, were y'all talking about them too? Because they've been doing it till they're 90.
They, like, look, Marvel said, we're going to keep using you until you're dead.
Correct. But if that was planned, that was a deep cut. That was a really good joke. Like, better than the on-the-surface funny that it was. I'm just excited. The Avengers came back when we needed them most. On this floating dumpster. Floating dumpster fire.
This just lets me know that the DCU will never be.
I've given up. I am a Marvel convert. I'm fully MCU now.
And I love the DCCU, but it's just... God. I'm mad we did it at the same time.
I should have known better when they didn't give us, and yes, animation has nothing to do with the live action, but I should have known better when they never gave us Teen Titans season 6. I was like, that should have been the sign right there to not have faith in DC nor the DCU. So,
like, the only good thing coming out of DC right now, realistically, is Harley Quinn, and the animated, not the video games, not that was dumpster fire.
Oh, you're talking about did they change the name?
Suicide Squad.
It is Suicide Squad. Did they change the name to something else though?
I don't know.
But anyway, yeah, I heard that was a dumpster fire, and I was just like, so much potential, because that wasn't, I feel like that was supposed to be the natural sequel to Injustice 2, and it just fell flat on its face. Because the storyline seemed like it was picking up from Injustice 2, because of how Injustice 2 ended with Brainiac's takeover, but okay, it is what it is.
But DC side characters are winning. Like, Peacemaker.
Yeah.
That show is funny as hell. I even started watching Kite Man. That's actually very entertaining. It's not the best show, but it's entertaining. It's solid.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. And you get, like, it gave me more of Bane, because an animated version of Bane is hilarious. He's so, like, oh, Peacemaker. I am the pasta maker now. It's like, Bane is so ridiculous. So yeah, but DC, I've given up outside of certain side projects y'all have going on that have nothing to do with the universe itself.
Yeah, I don't even know.
they'll never get their shit together.
I don't even know what the universe has planned. I guess I'm going to reside in the universe that made the Batman and Penguin, because those were actually really good. I actually haven't watched Penguin, but I kept hearing how good it is, so I'm going to watch it once I finish up Daredevil. Both Daredevils.
Yes.
Going backwards per usual. But but as soon as I finish up the new season of Daredevil and then go back to the older Daredevil, then I'll watch Penguin.
I'm doing the same thing because I missed season 3 of Daredevil.
Yeah.
But I started the new season. So I'm going to go, after I watch this, I'm going to go back and watch it. And then I'm going to reminisce about certain characters.
Oh,
you already know.
I already know.
But yeah, and then I have to watch The Punisher still because I never watched that.
Oh, same.
Didn't get into it. Yeah, so I was like, oh, so now I have to watch. Go back and watch that. But yeah, I'm excited for MCU. And what they have in store, and all the actors and all the chairs.
I am hyped. Oh, also going back to the point about Tom Holland's Spider-Man and like how he'll likely be in there. Marvel Studio did tease that there's more to come as far as casting. Like, this isn't the full cast, so like people were asking about Spider-Man for sure. Doctor Strange. I don't know about She-Hulk, but that would be cool. The Hulk.
Oh yeah.
Like they're still like it's already looking like a deep bench, but there's still room for more. And I know people were also wondering. I know people were also wondering whether Halle Berry would reprise her role as Storm.
Please no.
Demi, she was actually the better Storm, though. But she was the best.
Oh, out of like all the Storms that have been portrayed, she was the better
live action.
But yeah, let's let that one be, and let's get a new recasting. Let's do Aurora right.
Yeah.
Let's get her better wigs.
But okay, early 2000s to be fair.
Oh God, they were so bad. And each movie, it was a different wig.
It was.
So they weren't even consistent.
The short wigs did her better than the long wigs, I will say that.
Yeah. But I'm just like, especially after watching X-Men 97. I was like, whatever year. It was a year in the 90s. But after watching X-Men 97, after it picked up from the OG X-Men, it's like, yeah, please do Aurora right. Please.
Yes.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That one got me earlier.
I'm just happy Siri Bot's here.
Right?
I saw the Flash. I was like, what happened? Never mind. All right. Yes, it wasn't for me to know.
I was like, I'm here. Yeah, right?
Oh.
But it got it quick. Not remove the space.
Oh, it doesn't do the heart thing anymore. I was trying to do the good buck, man. Okay. Anything else on this announcement though? I'm just hyped. I'm so hyped. And I was already excited to watch the Thunderbolts this summer because I wanted to just like learn more about them. But yeah, it's just like, ooh, it feels like you're gearing up for, I don't know, because tests and exams aren't necessarily fun, but it feels like that, but just like in a very fun way. Like we're preparing for another hype Avengers movie. Oh, I will say, so I saw a comment under the Minute and a Half video of like, now basically saying if RDJ waited to reveal that he was coming back, like waited up to this point to reveal that he was coming back, that would have been way more hype. While I agree with the sentiment, I can understand why they decided to reveal him at Comic-Con last year, because, or to reveal him as Dr. Doom in Comic-Con last year, because from this, if we take this by itself, we don't know, we wouldn't have known what RDJ was playing. So therefore, fans would have been highly confused of like, I thought Iron Man is dead. Is he coming back? That would have like opened up millions of fans' theories about Multiverse Iron Man, even though there is a theory out there that that's basically why he's Doom, why he's playing as Doom, because he technically is a multiverse Tony Stark, but or is connected to Tony Stark in some way via multiverse. But yeah, it was like, I get the sentiment. It definitely would have been way more hype if RDJ was like held as a secret up to now. But I think that just would have caused too much confusion with where they were going in the direction they were going in with Dr. Doom. So, yeah, I understand both sides of that. But I didn't know if you had anything on that part of whether you think now that we're kind of seeing the full bench of Doomsday, if RDJ was announced too soon or they made the right choice, right call in like announcing him at Comic-Con.
I think they made the right choice revealing him early because it was a taste that got everybody hyped for him to be it. Personally, me, I was one of those people who was like, why?
Oh, yeah, I was saying. I was just like, now we grieved.
Yeah. So you don't bring him back? We had a funeral. We cried. We were like, Mr. Stark! Like... We grieved you, and then they're gonna be like, so he's back as Doom, and it's just like, no. But I'm glad they announced it then because they could use him as part of the rollout.
Yeah,
like from the picture alone right here, this is a good picture of him versus like one of the other Avengers, and the fact that he's not even an Avenger anymore.
Yeah.
So that kind of brings it another tier to where you're like, oh, you have one of our major players who's not even the major player. So that's going to be interesting. I'm still waiting for how, but it would have been really weird to announce Doomsday and then announce him as Dooms, or even not say anything. Like, I'm glad that they did it the way that they did.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I was basically feeling the same way. I was like, it definitely would have been way more hype, but way more confusion. If they had, gone the other route, just waiting. So, let's see. All right. Anything else, on this, before we move on to content creation stuffs?
Nothing on that.
Alrighty. Alright.
I think we geeked out enough.
That was a fun time. Moving along to Creator Hub. And go back to my regular tabs. Alright. It wasn't really a lot. It was light. Even though we missed a week, it was still light news. So, Stream Elements sponsor dashboard is now available for affiliates on Twitch. So if you want to get those coins through sponsors, it is available to pretty much everyone who is monetized. Indefinitely suspended users who successfully appeal may now be subject to 6 months probation. I'm not mad at that one. But your thoughts on those two?
Yeah, it's cool that the Stream Elements, I was even checking mine, I was like, oh, that the, it's up and running now for the affiliates, for the sponsor dashboards. Pretty good. I was like, it's not overly, like, there's nothing overly too much to say about it other than like, yeah, it's like, that's a good useful tool for people to use now.
Yeah.
Probably streamline it more than getting those offers for the, like, I want to check out, see how they actually have it formatted.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like a, just an overhaul of how they did it, how they used to do it, where you would get the email and be like, hey, you have a sponsorship opportunity. So that's some, see how that works out. But about the suspended ones, good on Twitch for saying for people who are suspended and they can appeal it. And if they were, in fact, in the, like, not the right, but if it wasn't as severe as needing to be banned for life, then yes, definitely give them a chance to come back and do their 6 months time. And as long as they're good, don't have any infractions, let them come back to streaming.
Yep.
So yeah.
All right, moving on to YouTube. YouTube is hosting creator events in every state over the coming months. You can sign up to attend. I don't think I'm going to sign up this year. I might next year. But this year I got too much as far as starting or not necessarily restarting or starting, but just like pivoting. There we go. So, yeah, but good to know. Hopefully they do it again next year so that I could actually maybe sign up. YouTube is testing allowing users to hide in screens. Dang, I don't know how I feel about that. That's where I put my next video. As a creator, but I get it from the user angle. Let's see. YouTube shared its best practices for creators to grow communities on the platform, which I kind of already know, but it's one of those is like, yeah, I know, I just gotta do it more. Which is basically post, engage, post and engage, and post and engage. So that's pretty much it. Research from eMarketer suggests YouTube will be the best bet for creators financially in 2025, with more brands spending more money there than any other platform. In this, I'm not surprised because there's just multiple opportunities. I think YouTube kind of has a down pat of like streamlining it as far as the live streams, the produced videos or long form videos, the shorts. And they even have avenues for music creators and podcasters to have their own separate thing. So not surprised at all. Anything? Any thoughts on YouTube updates, though?
It's cool. You did the first point, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's cool that they're doing events coming up. If people can actually go and, like, how to actually be a part of that, that's pretty cool. Because they host, a lot of times you see YouTube invite creators to other events.
Mm-hmm.
That they like sponsor, but to the actually go to a YouTube event itself is different. So that's pretty cool. Definitely agree with YouTube is the best for creators financially. You can make a lot of money doing different things on YouTube, and not just getting sponsorship, but like, it doesn't even matter what your channel does because there are so many different likes of different type of content that people have that you can make revenue off of. And like when you get certain views and you hit certain, like when you get a partner and all that kind of stuff and you get more subscribers and things, that adds up numbers for your channel, which you can get monetized off of. And then you get partner deals and things like that. And like just different types of ad campaigns you can do within YouTube. So I do think that it's a very, it's an easier market to monetize off of from other platforms. And plus, it's the OG platform.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's how I feel on that one.
Cool. All right. TikTok news. Four groups are leading the discussion to buy TikTok, but Oracle is currently the leader and taking over. TikTok Live is testing exclusive paid event streams. Buffer analysis suggests TikTok videos that are longer than a minute get more views and watch time than anything under a minute, which, yeah, that makes sense. Because, like, I mean, less than a minute bites, I mean, they are for a certain audience with an attention span of less than 8 seconds, but I do feel like a lot of people, if not the majority of people, want to watch something that's at least a minute and a half, if not a little bit longer. That's why long form videos have kind of been making a comeback on YouTube. They never like really went away, but you know, it had seemed like for a minute the shorts were gonna take over everything, but yeah, they're just overall more people who just don't mind putting on a 15, 20, 30 minute, 45 minute video and just watching it. A lot of people like me use YouTube more than a regular TV channel sometimes. So I'm not really surprised by that. Also of interesting news, ad rates on TikTok have crashed by 80% in the US, according to AdRoll. And then I'm going to go through the creator industry news real quick. Meta is beginning to test community notes across Facebook, Instagram, and Threads in the U.S. Facebook stories can now be monetized. You can apply for monetization. OBS appears to be suing TikTok for copyright infringement. And MrBeast is recruiting for Season 2 of Beast Games. Season 1 did look fun. I'm not applying. I'm just saying. It wasn't a bad watch.
But it was fun.
Yeah. Your thoughts on TikTok in the broader creator industry stuff?
Yeah. For TikTok, it's cool. That's creator. For the paid events, I'm going to see how that goes because you see how, you, like I said earlier, when we were talking about YouTube and their events. So I wonder how, Twitch, TikTok live events happen for the paid streams. So I wonder how, I always wonder about TikTok live just because it seems like
a lot. It seems way too chaotic for my big age. But y'all have fun. Like,
the kids got it.
Yes.
The kids got it. I'm shocked. So Oracle, when we talked about it and I was like, I don't know what Oracle is, and I didn't realize, I was like, is this the same Oracle that like businesses use?
I feel like it is.
Because that would be so weird. That's a weird market to get into. Because a lot of, like my company, we use Oracle. I have, like, login credentials and stuff. Like, they give us credentials for different stuff that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that's, like, a weird one. But I don't think the whole TikTok ban, I feel like it's going to go away. And I don't feel like they're not going to sell to anybody, that they're going to still hold on to their own company and be like, yeah, whatever. And if anything, they'll take it away again. Because they are the ones that shut it off.
Yes.
Contrary to popular belief, like, they're the ones that turned off their own U.S. servers for us, so... Yeah. I understand why videos that are longer than a minute get more views, because we aren't living in the Vine age anymore where those 20-second clips is all you have. Where, yes, people doom scroll, but you're more like, you're, there's a sweet spot in videos.
Yep.
When it's that 11-minute video, you're not going to tune in that long. I'm the one that likes fast forwards through it to get to the ending, because I'm like, you're taking too long. Versus a minute in, it doesn't feel like that much time. So I understand that that could be like the sweet spot for TikTok videos to be like, okay. So yeah. But for the industry news, you don't want to be on Mr. B's show?
Not if I'm not going to outright win and supplement my income that I'm about to lose.
Right? Be like, tell me I'm winning right now.
Right.
Like, just tell me now. I think it's so weird that Facebook stories can be monetized. Like, why? For what? Facebook just...
You use Facebook, though.
Yes, I do. And it's, like, for my personal... for my personal use. Like, that's my... that's my meme. That's not my online persona. That's not anything else. That's just me. And that's like where you get your family updates from and all that stuff, and like your friends and all that. But like, I rarely add new people on there unless it's somebody who like I know and they added me randomly. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have so many people just sitting in the request box. So I'm just like, no. Like, especially the people from high school. I'm like, no. And then, like, we didn't talk then. No.
It's why we friends. Because I do the same thing.
Right? But yeah, it's like Facebook, I feel like it's not that we're old and not that I'm old, but it's for the old folks. It's for us to just kind of chill out and like not be all at the hubbub of TikTok and Instagram and like all this going on, all the memes and all that stuff. Like, you can just casually like something, you can post a video, you think it's funny. I'm not, in Facebook, I'm not mad at, like, if it doesn't get any likes or anything like that. I'm like, because it's not for that. It's literally just be like, ha, I thought this was funny. Repost. Versus, like, the other platforms, I feel like it's always, like, how many likes can I get? How
yeah.
How many likes can I get? It's more work. So, yeah. And then... I don't know what community notes.
Oh, it's so on Twitter. It was the correction. It was a fact check. There you go.
Oh yeah. Huh. That, I mean, yeah, that'd be good. It'd be better if it was like for everyone, not just the U.S. But apparently, we need it the most.
Yeah, absolutely need it the most, but.
But yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
That is it.
All right. Moving on to Just Don't Care. It's a somewhat good one. So, the state of Texas. Specifically, the parole board, state parole board, did not care. That I agreed for once. So
I love that.
Yolanda Saldivar, the woman convicted of killing Selena, has been denied parole. Saldivar was sentenced to life in prison for killing Tejana music icon Selena in 1995. And this was done by the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles last Thursday. Saldivar was convicted of fatally shooting Selena, the Mexican-American singer known as the Queen of Tejano Music, whose full name was Selena... Selena Quintanilla Perez. At a Days Inn Motel in Corpus Christi on March 31st, 1995. All because... Actually, I thought it was over money, but I'm not 100% sure. It's been a minute since I watched that documentary or watched clips of it. So I gotta go back and double check my notes. But yeah. So Saldivar was eligible for parole after 30 years with possible release no sooner than March 30th. Her next parole review is set for March of 2030. Although I will say, because it's Texas and that was Selena's home state, I kind of think they did her a favor. Strictly observational. No, like, one way or the other about it. I think that was, no, you need to stay in here. Kind of surprised she hasn't got in within prison, but it is a bit more strict. But you can still get shanked in there. So, yeah. So, good on the Texas border pardons and paroles, which I thought I would never say. But your thoughts on this pardon denial or parole denial, I should say.
Yeah, because Yolanda, girl, they was waiting on you.
Yeah, they're
gate. I mean, I was part of that too, but they was waiting on you at the gate. I was like, come on out. We're not finna jump you. Yeah, it was that big energy.
Yeah.
So I think it's best, especially for the family. And that was a senseless killing.
Yeah.
For the family to, I don't feel like certain people should stay in jail for certain crimes. That's what I feel like. And for a senseless act of violence like that, I don't think that you should be able to get out, no matter like what big age you are. And they're like, oh, they paid their time.
You stay right there. Yeah. That's,
you took a life.
And to this day, that is why I cannot and will not ever be for prison abolition, because some of y'all just gotta be there.
Mm-hmm. Like, do I believe in the privatized prison system? No. But people do.
Some of y'all just gotta go. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those lines where you'd be like, are you for prison? Are you against prison? Are you for the death penalty? Are you against the death penalty? And it's like, there's always those cases where it's like, yeah.
Yeah, no, you just gotta, yeah.
You gotta do it. That's like the tough decisions. And be like, I don't wanna, like, I would never work as an executioner or like work in the prison to be the one to administer the drugs to put you down, but I'm also not against using that for extreme cases.
Right. I
think that's the main thing, for extreme cases.
Right.
Because if you're out there chopping up people and eating them, yeah.
Yeah.
That.
You are a danger to society.
Yeah. Not everybody can be rehabilitated. That's what's the purpose of jail is supposed to be for, is rehabilitation.
Right.
But certain things, I don't think you should be able to come back from, because that is a consequence. That's like, you killed somebody. If you, in your right sound mind, actively went out of your way to kill somebody, not by accident, but purposefully, I don't think that you should be able to get on parole. That's just me.
Yeah, no, agreed. Yeah. All right. Moving on now to, I didn't know if you had any more, just don't care.
Other than Marvin Sapp and his,
lock the door hostage. Lock the door and pay these ties.
I listened to that. That was a mess. I was like, see, look, this is what's wrong with the churches. This is,
I already know Kev on Stage did his bonus podcast about it, so I gotta listen to it, but oh my god.
I did see
the video that him and Angel.
I saw Angel's skit about it too. I was
that was hilarious.
Yes.
I was like, you can't be forcing people to pay. And talking about lock the doors. I was like, no, that wasn't what you didn't slip up on what you said. You meant that.
He meant that, but okay, I will give him in his defense, he said it's because we don't want people coming in trying to rob people because, you know, given when people are given ties, it's a vulnerable time. You can get hit for a lick. You know, there are people who be trying to rob, be coming in trying to rob the church. While I have seen a clip here and there of that, dubious at best. I don't know. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. How many churches be robbed during service? On average.
Right, on average. Did you see? Oh, that was a New York thing, though. This pimp came up to...
Sorry.
Like, if you start a story off about a church and a pimp, I understand the laughing. He came up to the preacher and just, boop, clocked him. Because apparently, like, the what they were saying was that he owed them money for using one of his girls.
Oh, my God.
He ran up on him at the church.
What, was this a black church? I feel like I know the end.
No.
Oh.
It was a black, the pimp was black.
Right.
But the preacher was white.
Oh.
And... yeah, and this is like not even a made up story. Like, there's a video of it, of him just going up to him and clocking him. And yeah.
Because I was just like, dear Lord, I mean, we can come back from a lot, but shit. Black church? Okay, good to know it was not a black church.
Right.
That is hilarious. Also, would not have been surprised if that happened in the South. I could see that happening anywhere at this point. Okay. Maybe not a weekly update, though. Maybe we'll talk more about Barbersep next week.
But moving on, that video to you because that was so funny.
That sounded hilarious. But okay. First weekly update, the Duke of Sussex, jeez, the Duke of Sussex, a.k.a. Prince Harry, even though he gave up his title, so Prince Harry technically is not correct anymore, but Harry, quit his charity he set up in Diana's honor over an internal row. He resigned from a charity he set up after a row between the trustees and the chair of its board. So Harry co-founded Centibel in 2006 in honor of his mother Diana, Princess of Wales, to help people in Southern Africa living with HIV and AIDS. He stepped down with his co-founder, Prince Seeiso of Lesotho, and the board of trustees because his relationship with chairwoman Dr. Sophie Chandaka broke down beyond repair after she was asked to resign and took legal action. Dr. Chandaka says she reported the trustees to the UK Charity Commission, and she basically did a whistleblower report about issues that included abuse of power, bullying, sexism, and racism. I'll make my point after I read. The Charity Commission said it was aware of concerns about the governance of Centebell and is looking into them. In a joint statement, the Duke and Prince CSO said they were resigning from their roles with heavy hearts and in solidarity with the Board of Trustees. In Harry's defense, I'm not just defending him because of Meghan Markle or Diana, but I think in Harry's defense, what he did was set up the charity, named it, threw some money at it, maybe handpicked some of the board. And I don't think he did much more, because I feel like when you set up a charity, you're just the investor at that point, and you're not a decision maker. You're more so a figurehead. So I don't think he was part of the abuse of power, bullying, sexism, and racism. Not necessarily fully absolving him. I'm just saying, I don't think he was that deeply involved, but I guess he had to take a stand because somebody he knew, or maybe with the co-founder, either somebody he knew on the board or the co-founder or both might have been involved in some messy things from the sounds of it. But your thoughts on this?
I agree with that. I think that it was one of those, you set it up in his mom's name and kind of picked the people to run it, and that was it. And then I think now after being married and having his own family and kind of seeing different things on the world and different takes on how the royal family navigates, I feel like he's had a different perspective on things. But yeah, it's kind of,
yeah,
that's some rich people problems.
It's definitely some rich people problems, but I love me a good British story.
I know, right? But yeah, it's rich people problems, but it's weird that this is why you don't fraternize within the same company.
Yeah.
Because for that to be like the downfall, to be like, it's broke down beyond repair. And it's like, what you mean? But also, it's like with the bullying and the sexism and the racism, which we know for a fact that over in the UK, they can be very racist.
Right.
Also, for a charity that's gearing towards Africans,
yeah,
it's kind of bad.
Yeah, because I don't know how many members of the board were from Lesotho, like the co-founder. I don't know how many were from the UK or other European countries. So I can see, it sounds like there are some high-ranking members who are at least from Lesotho, which is a country in Southern Africa. But I also feel like probably majority, if not maybe about half of the board members were from the UK. So it's still that. It was going to get messy and break down and be a power struggle. Not necessarily because of the geographic difference, because of the history that goes within it with all the colonization. So I'm not too surprised, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But anything else on Harry quitting that charity?
Nothing else on that.
Okay.
Nothing else on that.
And then last but not least, Betty White got a stamp. So the Postal Service decided to honor Betty White with a new forever stamp, which is available for first class mail now. The only time I use stamps is to basically for my passport or some other official document that I gotta send through the mail. It's usually the passport. But if y'all are still out there mailing snail mail, you can get a Betty White Forever stamp for 73 cents. And it's a tribute to the First Lady. She was dubbed the First Lady of Television, and it was unveiled at the Los Angeles Zoo, which is a dedication to Betty White's love for animals, which led her to support local shelters, advocate for guide dogs, and serve on the LA Zoo Board. The stamp image of Betty White was created based on a 2010 photograph. So, yeah. It was like, or if you just want to buy a roll of Betty White stamps, you can do that too. but I think that's pretty cool. It's a tie between her and Estelle Getty, who played Sophia, as like my favorite Golden Girls, but I know she was a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, any thought on the Betty White stamp?
It's like, yay. I just heard her voice in, we were watching King of the Hill. We've been watching that from season one. And her voice was in it for one of the characters. So it was just like, oh, Betty. she was a real one.
Yeah.
I almost forgot that she passed. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, is she dead? I was literally about to ask, is she dead? And then I was like, oh, she died.
Yeah, Jay, she in the upper room. She'd been there for a minute.
She'd been there for a good minute. I was like, it just dawned on me again, like, oh yeah, she's dead. You kind of forget about some of these people when they get to a certain age.
You do.
And I was just like, did she? And I was like, yeah, she did. And I was like, no, she didn't. And then actually, this was like earlier when I was reading all this stuff, and I was just like, oh yeah, she is dead, isn't she? she in the upper room. Can't go visit her yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. But yes.
All right. Anything else before we close out?
I don't think so.
It's 9:00. It's almost my bedtime. Okay, y'all. We're going to cut it here. Thank y'all for coming out to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. We will catch y'all later.